Tri-City Tipsnet. Calling Tri-City Tipsnet for Wednesday. February 3rd, 2021. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in Groton, Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. It's also available on Echolink as W1DX-R. That's Whiskey 1 Delta X-Ray-Romeo. This net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is twofold. First, provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio, and also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TIPSnet is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We'll ask for those questions after everyone has checked in. There are three sections to the TIPSnet. First, the open net with rounds of questions and comments as just described. The second section is the section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And the third section is an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say "this is" and release the mic button like this. And listen to ensure no one else called at the same time you have. And if no one has, then slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or a question. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPSnet, and your net control for this evening is Tim, KC1TWR. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign, name, and location slowly.
Good evening. Here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich, Connecticut on Echo Link. And I know it's the first Wednesday, but I have a question / topic that might be fun.
This is?
This November 1, Sierra Papa X-Ray, Chuck in Hannibal, Missouri. No questions.
This is? Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango, Dave in Preston, with, we'll call it an obscure question.
November Oscar Alpha John in Old Lyme. No questions.
Kilo Charlie 1 Golf Quebec Zulu Dan in Montville. No questions. I'll just be on the side listening.
This is
Victor. Steve, Coventry, no questions yet. Here is Whiskey 1, Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey, Chuck in Groton, no questions. Okay, so far we have Kevin, KA6BDG, Chuck, N1SPX, Dave, K1DCT, John, KC1NOA, Dan, KC1GQZ, Steve, NK1V, and Chuck, W1FJW. Kevin has indicated that he has a question and possibly a topic, and Dave has indicated that he has a question of sorts. So we'll start at, well, let me make sure that we've got everybody checked in. If anybody else would like to check into the TipsNet, please come now with your call sign.
And those come in real handy when you have no cell service.
being that I'm out in the Midwest, and even down when I was in South Carolina for a year, that comes in real handy, and knowing how to read a map is still a useful skill. The XYL has no desire to read a map and no desire to learn how, and it drives me nuts, and it's very painful when we're on a road trip and we need to get somewhere. Usually that means she ends up driving, as Kevin can attest. All right, N1 SPX back to net.
Like him, although not as old as him, but coming up close from behind. I'm an old dude, and I learned how to read paper maps because, oh, wait a minute, that's what there was. You didn't have all this GPS and all these other things, tablets and that sort of stuff. So I am quite comfortable with a paper map. I'm also quite comfortable plugging into a GPS or looking online here at Google Maps, but I do like to get a look at a real map because then you have alternatives. So, you know, as you're, I don't know, say steaming down 95 headed towards Washington, D.C., and you come to a roadblock. Well, if you look at a map, there's another route called 301. You can dive off and, well, maybe or maybe not, save yourself some time or at least some frustration. So, and when I fox hunt, I have an entire atlas of the state of Connecticut in my vehicle, and I'll flip that open, and I can, and of course, I know my way around, having traveled the state for over 20-something years. I have a pretty good idea of where things are and road names, so I'm very comfortable with maps. And of course, here in the shack, I have the Amateur Radio Relay League Amateur Radio Map of the World. And I have a globe. So I think I got it all covered. I don't know. Probably not. But let me drop it here for a second. And just to add to the mix tonight, my obscure question is, I have an associate who I knew back when I thought I was somebody, and this person has now moved to Tennessee, and all of a sudden decided to get their amateur radio license. And so we chatted back and forth, and I said, you know what, get the Baofeng, and if you're not nuts over it, then upgrade or do something else, but that'll get you on the air. And told him about the CHIRP program, and offered to build a program for their radio and send it to him. So I wonder if anybody else has done that. I built a program for the radio, they say they're coming, and sent it off to him email. So I wonder if anyone else has done this. I've never done that without a radio sitting here in front of me that I could talk to directly, not myself talk to, but of course the computer. So one of those obscure things I've never tried. I sent it off. I hope it works. K1DCT, back to net.
you, Dave. I do have a question for you before we do move on to the next person. When you say build a program, are you talking about, for instance, using Chirp to create the file that will be loaded in the program and then saving that file and sending that file, or are you talking about something else?
Oh, no, Tim, you are exactly correct. I'm sorry I wasn't clear, but yes, I went into Chirp. I actually have a radio that identifies like that one, even though it's not the same as what this person is getting, but it's the 82 something, it's not the little one. So yes, I went in there, built a program in Chirp with stuff in their area, and put it on a file, obviously saved it, and sent it off to them in an email. So hopefully they can, detach it and access it. K1DCT.
Okay, very good. For the sake of simplicity, I'm going to suggest that everyone focus on this being an analog radio versus digital, where people are constantly sending DMR code plugs and so forth back and forth. Let's keep the question analog, which is what Dave was doing, and go from there. Okay, next we're going to go to John, and we have three questions for you. Do you use a paper map, and if so, why? Do you make use of a globe? And have you ever done any kind of a programming and sending of a file like Dave has described? KC1NOA, KC1TWR.
KC1NOA, I do not have maps in my shack yet. Seems like maybe I should get them. Yaesu sent me a nice big map with my radio that I haven't done anything with yet. And I noticed a nice map on my Ham Radio Deluxe that I downloaded, so I guess I'll have to get on those and see what I can do. I did this program, Baofeng, or reprogrammed it using Chirp, and I found myself when I was mobile with it that I wanted to figure out better which repeaters as I was traveling around, so I actually named them all by location with the Chirp program and find it much easier as I use it, so I'm very happy with that. Back to that.
Easier to quickly focus and know where you're talking as opposed to just seeing the frequency. But it's all up to the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Okay, next we'll move on to Dan. And same question, do you use a map, and if so, why? Do you make use of a globe? And have you ever done any programming with the analog? Oops, turn off the alarm. Have you done any programming with analog radios, especially the intent of either sending the file elsewhere or anything of that nature? KC1GQZ, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is KC1GQZ. I actually do have two of the old Atlas maps. I have one each vehicle. Just in the event that the GPS ever fails, I can go back to the old true and test it, at least get myself home. Regarding the programming, I do use Chirp. All my radios have been programmed through Chirp. Originally, I was doing it manually and then came across Chirp, started buying programming cables, and found it was so much easier to do that. So I am a fan of Chirp. This is KC1GQZ, back to Nectro.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Before we go any further, down the list, I'd like to offer a time period where if anybody else would like to join us on the TIPSnet, bring your knowledge, bring your comments. Please come now with your name, your call sign, and your location.
Romeo Papa Queen, Bob at Oakdale. Good evening. No questions.
Connected. NT10.
Okay, Net recognizes Bob, W1RPQ. Anybody else that would like to join into the TIPS Net, please come now with your name, location, and call sign. Gentlemen, I've added you to the list. We still have a couple of people to go through before we get to you. You'll hear the questions as I raise them, but seeing as you're new to the net, if you have any questions, please let us know when you're called on. Okay, let's move on to Steve, NK1B. Question is, do you use paper maps, and if so, why? Do you make use of globes? And have you ever used a program to program an analog radio, especially to then take that program and send it to someone else to program their radio? This is KC1TWR, and I'm passing this on to Steve, NK1B.
NK1V, I wonder if Kevin's baiting me with his mapping question. I do happen to know quite a bit about maps. A lot of it is recently learned, but I did learn, I like Chuck's comment on the atlases. That's my preferred, like for traveling. When 20-something years ago, I first got my the current job I have, one of my tasks is doing road service. And my boss, who is still my boss, he owns the place, is horrible at giving directions. He has no clue nor where anything is, you know, how close Killingly is to Norwich or anything like that. So needless to say, by the second week, I was at the bookstore purchasing the Rand McNally, the city, in London County, the Hartford County, all those, because I used them for years until GPS became more popular. But interesting thing about maps, not so much with the atlases, but if I have a big old paper map, I have to have it orientated, I don't know if that's how you say the word, to the north. I have to have north up, or it's useless to me. Must be just the way my brain fires. Let me reset. I do have a globe. It's more for appearance. I found a really nice one at the Mansfield Flea Market a couple years ago to complement my shack. I use it to show off places where I've spoke to, but not too many people really. You know, grandkids are like, yeah, that's cool. And on the mapping, though, I'm actually looking, I brought up one because something I had to learn was the a lot of the environmental areas that are like management areas and stuff, not so much the state parks, but a lot of the environmental areas in Rhode Island and Connecticut and stuff, which I do a lot of mapping work with, they only have like a PDF of the original. It's an engineer's drawing of some sort, you know, it's a drawing, topographical, but it's not like digital like you're used to, like on Google Maps. So in those, of course, is all longitude and latitude and everything like that. And I relearned how to figure out how to find like where the roads are and stuff by using those numbers and then putting them into Google and so on to figure it all out. And it's actually been quite enlightening, and it's kind of good to know all that stuff. And I'll reset one more time. And then, yeah, on Dave's question, I also use Chirp on whenever I can. I have a couple common radios, my ICOM 7100 and then Yaesu, what are they, the 7900s. I have a couple of each of those, so I actually have the RT systems for those. And Chirp is usually pretty, it gets you by in most cases, and you can't beat the price, and it'll actually do things that some of the, like, RT systems will only work on the radios you got. And yes, I actually keep files that I've built up on my Google Drive, so that, like, if I'm traveling or something, I go to a different state, and if I wanted, of course, the 7900, you could put a ton of repeaters and banks and stuff, but I can move them into that radio, and I can send them to someone who, if they're ever interested in that. But one thing I noticed with, like, the RT systems, and I don't think, like, the Wuxian and stuff that I use in Chirp needs it, but you have to remove the program, like, you have to read the program in the radio first, and then upload your new file, otherwise it won't recognize the radio. It's kind of weird. That's the way they do it. I think that that covers that. Yeah, that's a lot in one round. Back to net, NK1B.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Good comments there. Next, we'll move on to Chuck and ask him the same questions. Do you use a paper map, and if so, why? Do you make use of a globe? And have you ever done some programming for a radio? And as Dave did, a radio he didn't even have on site in order to send it somewhere else. So have you ever programmed a radio, I guess, is the big question. And with that, over to W1FJW. This is KC1TWR and the TIPSnet.
Well, I do use paper maps. Out of bad habits I got when first job I had out of high school was working at an electronics store. We did deliveries, and we had a map of New London County, Connecticut, that was the size of a bed sheet. It even showed in little dotted lines for the dirt roads, and it was indispensable for making deliveries because people in the darndest places wanted their color TVs delivered to them, and we had to find the place, so we did that, and we took to penciling in the new roads as the developments grew, and we had a kind of a living map that take you wherever you wanted to go in New London County. When I moved on to an engineering job, they'd want you to go to forward sites and fix stuff. And back then, of course, there was no GPSs, they were, but it was all government confidential stuff. So regular people used maps, and whenever you went to an area, you got a local map, and you ran a copy of it, and on the paper copy, you annotated where the restaurants were, where the good hotels were, where to stay away from, where the job was, because that usually wasn't published too good, and we got quite a drawer full of maps through the ages, because everyone that had to travel would go see their buddy to see if they had a map that they could copy to get book on what the town was like that they had to go and have a heads up. And pretty soon your maps became copies of copies, but it was all you had, so you did it. I switched to a globe when I was on a flight from Los Angeles going back to New York, and the pilot said we were right on course over Ontario, Canada. And I'm thinking, this guy's crazy. But when I got home, I broke out my Mercator projection map, and I'm right, he's crazy. Then I scratched my head and picked up the globe and stretched a string from New York to Los Angeles, and guess what? It passes over Ontario, Canada. So I began to thinking maybe the maps I've been using didn't give me a clear picture. So now I have paper maps for details, and I carry atlases in all the cars, and I'm not afraid to write on them, and because they give you a big picture. A GPS is okay if you can stay on course, but it's like trying to watch a ball game through a knot hole in the outfield fence. You can see the whole game, but not at the same time. You only get little bits and areas. And I have a globe. I have a couple of them, but I don't generally keep them in the shack, though they're in the house here. I've kind of switched to an azimuth equidistant map that shows that Ontario really is between Los Angeles and New York. I have Chirp and RT systems, and I use them, but I haven't had to send anyone any files. I think that hits all the questions. Back to the net, W1FJW.
to TIPSnet. Basically, we do have three rounds of the TIPSnet. This is the round. This is the section, rather, of the TIPSnet where we ask if anybody has any questions that they'd like to bring to the net. Then there's the second section where we have announcements and items of interest, and then a third section where, which is for anybody who's looking to buy, sell, or swap amateur radio equipment. So we're still in the first section, and welcome to the TIPSnet. If you have a question or what have you, you can start with that, and then you can think about answering the question about whether you use paper maps and why, whether you make use of a globe, and whether you've programmed radios, especially to be sent somewhere else. NT10, KC1TWR in the TIPSnet.
Trust the post office and GPS. Let's see here. And on antennas, I'm a dipole snub, so I think, and different people have different results with the G5RV. I'm going to reset the repeater. Dissatisfied with the G5RV. You have hams out there like me that had very good luck with it. So it probably depends on circumstance and personal perspective. But a G5RV is basically sort of a dipole, as is my doublet antenna. And fan dipoles, I've heard people like them don't know much about them, so you can put me down as a dipole snob. But a good-natured one. KU6PDG, back to that.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much for those comments. And I don't think any less of you being a dipole snub. Okay, let's move on to Chuck, and the two questions he's now facing are the question about programming and Jerry's question about what would be a better antenna than the G5RV and 1SPX KC1TWR.
All right, thank you, Tim. First, I'm going to have a little fun at Chuck's expense. Chuck, I thought, A, they weren't on bed sheets, they were on papyrus, and B, I thought the globes still had square corners. Okay, that being said, as far as programming goes, I try to avoid blind programming as much as I can. What I prefer to do, as Kevin said, is use TeamViewer, and or what we use is VNC, but for most people it would be TeamViewer. And to Dave, I would strongly suggest you try to get your buddy to install TeamViewer on his machine. It's pretty straightforward, and it pretty well just works. And the benefit there is, inevitably, when he gets used to the radio, he will want things changed. And you can chirp on his machine, and then you can walk him through changing it using TeamViewer to connect to his computer and manipulate it. Again, pretty straightforward, just to allow screen sharing and a little bit of remote control. Let me reset before I go on a rant about dipoles. If you have one antenna to rule them all, it is a dipole. What I would strongly suggest to NT1O, and I'm sure Kevin would back me up on this, is to take your G5RV and lead it all, replace the Balun with another chunk of ladder line, and carry that ladder line all the way to your transceiver. Right before your transceiver, you want to put an automatic tuner. My preference is an MFJ 993 Bravo. Spend an hour talking about why that is, but I think everybody that has heard me say it agrees. So again, an MFJ 993 Bravo, the benefit to that is A, it's automatic, B, it has a Balun built in, and yeah, you can use the same wire that's up in the air 30 feet, 35 feet, probably not bad. The other benefit is, with using ladder line, because there's no coax in line, the SWR really on the wire really doesn't actually matter. You can do some coax calculator things online and see that the SWR really doesn't cause a lot of loss in ladder line where it does in coax. So, again, you just use the same top. Your easy fix is to replace that coax section on the G5RV with a chunk of ladder line, and then I strongly recommend an automatic tuner. And yes, beams and all that kind of stuff will get you more directionality and more gain. But as far as I'm concerned, this is the one. If you have one antenna in the air, this is it. There's no other. There's I get to find anybody that even comes close to arguing otherwise. Basically, a dipole that's as long as you can make it, given the room you have, and fed with ladder line to a balun that's very close to the radio. All right, that's my rant for dipoles. And Jerry, NT10, my email, my name is Chuck. My email is chuck@n1spx.com. If you need any further help, I'd be more than happy to. N1SPX, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. Very good comments on both, all three items. Anyhow, just to let everybody know, it's about 13 of, and normally we try and wrap up all three sections of the TIPSnet by 8. However, I think we're going to run long tonight because I want to make sure everybody gets a second comment, which is we're on the second round now, and can help Jerry with his decision-making. And I should add to that if you use HF, you might want to let him know also what antenna you're using and why, and what you do recommend with the G5RV as in modification, as Chuck described, or in replacing. So next we're going to go to another person who dabbles in HF, Dave, K1DCT, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet.
Yes, and dabble I will. K1DCT here. And, good to hear Jerry on the net. Wondered what happened to him. And I can echo Chuck's SPX as far as the, yes, the dipole, as long as your the parameters of your property and or permissions from others will allow, and then 450 ohm line all the way to, in that case, an automatic tuner. My dipole is cut for 160, and 450 ohm line to a manual tuner, because I'm old school, with a 4-to-1 balun, and I have loaded that antenna in places where it probably never should have been, but it has always gotten me out. With that said, I do have a second antenna that is a N-FET for 40 meters and does 40, 20, 15, and 10 without a tuner. So just need something to someplace secure to mount the 9-to-1 balun and then go off 66 feet in some direction, makes no difference. And that is, I'll call that my primary antenna, although the dipole with the 450 ohm line was up before the NFET, but, and both work well, I have no complaints, so I think that's the way to go. I know the G5RV, when that came out, I know people seemed to go crazy for it, and I kind of looked at it and said, I don't understand. And that wouldn't be the first time I didn't understand something, but it's, some people raved about it, some people ranted at it. So I just looked at it and said, I don't see the big advantage here. So that's my observation, for whatever that's worth. And Jerry, I'm right here in town. My call sign at Yahoo. So K1DCT. Back to net.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
And for Jerry's benefit, that's Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango. Or as I call it, Kilo 1 Direct Current Transformer. Okay, let's move on to John, an old line, and see what he thinks as far as the G5RV and any what he would recommend. KC1NOA, KC1TWR.
KC1NOA, I can't really recommend anything at this point. But it's good to hear all the conversation because my next project is a wire antenna. I'm looking at an NFED because I think that just the way my location of my shack and which way I can run it, it's gonna, I think I'm going to use 130-foot NFED, and hopefully I'm going to have good results. I don't think I can put much of a slope on it. It might be more horizontal. So hopefully it's going to work out. Back to net.
Okay, thank you, John. Next, we're going to move on to Dan in Montville and see what he thinks about G5RV or what antennas he uses or recommends. KC1GQZ, KC1TWR.
This is KC1GQZ. Well, for the HF rig, my dive hole was a, it's an N-feed EFHW 80 to 10 meter unit. I have a little zig in it because it's about 133 feet long. I'm not having great luck with it. I have made it down to the Carolinas. That's probably the farthest distance I have. And the rig that it is connected to is the Yaesu FT450D, which 100 watt, and it has the built-in automatic tuner. But yeah, I've actually not very pleased, or I expected more out of the antenna than what I'm receiving, so I figure I may have some problems. This is KC1GQZ back to net control.
Maybe HF antennas would make a good subject for next Wednesday evening. Okay, before we get to Steve, let me do a quick call out. Anybody else that would like to join us on the TipsNet, please come now with your name, call sign, and location. Okay, let's move on to Steve and see what he thinks about G5RV or what he would recommend it for replacing that NK1V, KC1TWR.
NK1V. Honestly, we'll start with what I'm using now, which I do not recommend for a first antenna because they're a little tricky. I'm running a 180-meter, I guess you can call it a doublet. It's actually a dipole cut in the middle. And I'm running 600-ohm actual ladder line. I built it with plastic tubes and everything. It's actually plastic brake, air brake tubing and zip ties, but I made a really nice ladder. And that runs all the way back to the shack. It's a little bit tricky because the length of that ladder is something negotiable, and you definitely need a good tuner, you know, a manual tuner. There's not too many auto tuners. I can get some stuff on the auto tuner, but on manual, but there's almost no loss at all, and the output is incredible. So could it be your last antenna? Yeah, but should it be your first antenna? No. G5RV is out of the box. It's something to throw up, and they do work. And yes, what Chuck said, I agree with. If you add on to the ladder line, you basically have the window line, you basically have a doublet, and tune probably with a decent tuner at the bottom, you'll do fine. Where was I going to go with that? Oh, and also I've run them with the coax. I've run them G5RVs camping and stuff, all kinds of angles and things that they said not to do, and I've gotten out quite well. Let me reset. NFEDs are nice. The random wire, I'm running one. I run one because it's the only way I don't have much room, so to get 160, I have a real nice 9-to-1 ballon, and I use station and some
interesting wiring underneath my deck for a push against, and I run that thing as far as I can get out in the woods, and it does pretty good. It's a little noisy, but it does work on all bands. It does 160 quite nice, and I can put some power into that thing. One thing no one mentioned, which I use quite often, and is a nice starter antenna, is the off-center fed dipole. I have a 180 meter and a 40 meter one, and of course you have everything above that once you, so if you have an 80 meter, it pretty much covers almost all the bands. You'll need a 4-to-1 balun to match whatever kind of power you plan on putting through it, but like the little LDD ones or stuff are work fine. That's what I use my secondary antenna for POTA, and it's they're very easy to tune with most internal and not, you know, one like Chuck's saying or something like that. Any of your auto tuners will tune them nice. Those work out good. And that's about it. Verticals are a whole nother game, nothing I get into new, but later on, they can be a lot of fun too. Don't underestimate the verticals. Back to that, NK1B.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Very good. Just to let Jerry know, when you said POTA, you were talking about Parks on the Air, of which Steve did an excellent presentation. Well, I guess it was a presentation to the TIPSNet a few weeks ago. And at the end of this net, we'll be talking about where those are recorded and where they're kept for people to go back and listen to. But in the meantime, let's go to Chuck and ask him the same question about G5RV. What is he using? What does he recommend? W1FJW, KC1TWR.
First, let's say if the next gentleman up, Bob, will probably have a fair assessment of an NFED antenna. I believe he's using one and has for a while. But better than a G5RV, of course, a lot depends upon your particular area, what bands you're looking for, and what directions you're looking in. But I'd say take a G5RV and remove the ladder line and the coax and that stuff, and replace it with a, remove the window line, I should say, in the coax, and replace it with ladder line, if you can bring it in the house, and use a true balanced tuner if you can get one, or otherwise use a current balun, you know, a Grinnell transmission line transformer type balun that puts equal current in each leg, not equal voltage, and use a manual tuner. They don't get as befuddled as automatic tuners, and you can use them to receive, to help tune the antenna to receive frequencies outside of the ham bands, which usually you cannot do with an automatic tuner. You have to produce a signal for them to work, and if you're listening to something and want to peak the antenna, manual will do it for you. Back to net, W1FJW.
Good evening.
The time is 8 p.m. on Wednesday, February 3.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. And with that, we're going to move on to Bob, who you said might be talking about ZenFit. See what he thinks about G5RV and what he would recommend as a replacement. W1RPQ, KC1TWR, and the TIPSNet.
KC1TWR, this is W1RPQ. Dipole antenna, G5RV. I've got all the pieces down in the shop to put one together, and that'll be my spring project. I've got location at the house as well as two endpoints that I can, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get it up as high enough as I'd like to, but we'll give that one a shot. I do currently use an 8010 NFED at about 126 feet, and been really successful successful with it and don't have any complaints. Chuck was kind enough to come over, and we figured out the direction we wanted to go and got it over the trees, and it's been fantastic. I would like to try something different, or maybe even an NFED in a slightly different direction, but I don't think I'm going to get it much better. But I think an overall out-of-the-box G5RB pretty much can use it anywhere, and like Steve said, you can use some pretty interesting setups, and you'll probably do just fine. So that's all I have for this round. This is W1RPQ. Back to net.
Okay, thank you, Bob. And now we're going to go back to the man who had the question and see if any of this has helped him or made sense to him. NT10, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet.
Hello, and it was interesting to hear everybody's suggestions. I am using a tuner, a manual tuner, a Polestar 82K. I'm happy with the tuner, but it's really more in the receiving end that I'm not picking up a lot, no matter how I tune. Certainly it varies in propagation, ionosphere, sunspots, all that kind of stuff, but I just seem to get so little the majority of the time. Either has more to do with placement, and then you can rotate it. Right now it's facing north and south, so I'm expecting that there's probably less to get there, but I don't know yet. Again, one of the positives of being a newbie is you don't know what is typical or what to expect. But one of the things I'm going to try based on this discussion tonight is a long, probably 160-meter dipole. My biggest problem is getting high enough off the ground, mainly because it's not a good way to do that. I've been trying to shoot things over branches. I'd love to rent, cherry picker, but it's pretty expensive to do. But that only makes it harder, and I obviously want a low takeoff angle, at least as low as I can get. But I probably need to do more experimenting than I've done, just trying to get something that at least lets me enjoy being out here more. But I appreciate all the responses, so thank you. This is NT10, back to that.
Okay, very good, Jerry. Quick question back for you, though. When you were trying to get the antennas up in the trees, were you just using like a fishing weight and throwing it, or were you using something like a potato gun or a bow and arrow or something of that nature?
Jerry, I did try shooting it over with a bow and arrow with a light line. I did have some luck with that. And another location, I used a drone to fly it over, but that was only useful when that particular tree was a standalone. Most of where my antenna wire is running is against a line of trees that go deeper into the forest, so the drone is only an option, in certain circumstances. Something like a spud launcher might be a better way to go, but it's a cherry picker would be ideal, obviously. Things the way you want, but there is really no easy way. I'm getting too old to be climbing anything that goes up too high anyway, and even though it's back to that.
Okay, very good. And glad you're getting some interesting information out of this, and it sounds like you have a plan. We've been through two rounds, and even though it's a little bit after 8, we do need to get through the other two sections. But before we go to the second section, I do want to make sure, are there any additional check-ins or anyone with additional comments? Please call now.
N1SPX, a quick additional.
This is K1JMN, Jerry in Preston.
Okay, Net recognizes that Chuck, N1SPX, has a comment, and Jerry, K1JMN, is checking in. Let's go to Chuck first and get his quick additional, N1SPX, KC1TWR.
we cannot confuse things. Jerry, NT10. My suggestion as far as something to throw things over the trees with, a 4 ounce weight, a 4 ounce fishing weight that has an eye in it, you can just tie a string to it, and a, here we sell them as catfish poles, but out there you probably sell them as surf poles, a 6 foot medium action, or heavy action fishing pole with a 4 ounce weight on it and about 20 pound line. That'll get that weight anywhere you want it to be. And just remember, don't tie it at the far end because of the tree's sway, it'll break. I use some old railroad springs I have laying around. If not, anything in the 5 to 10 pound range at the other end will keep the line taut enough, but will give enough that when the trees sway in the breeze, it'll move up and down as it needs to and not snap the line or the wire. That's all I got. Thanks, Tim. N1SPX.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. Good advice. And Jerry, we're going to give you instant service before we get to the second section. I don't know if you've been listening or not. We were talking with Jerry, NT10, and he was asking about G5RV and HF antennas. So what's your comment there, Jerry? K1JMN, KC1TWR.
Well, thanks, Tim. Yeah, I have a spud launcher that I have in mothballs right now, and I'd like to dust it off and put it to use, if I may, if anybody wants to borrow that. It's available. This is K1JMN, back to net.
Okay, and conveniently, you live in Preston as well. So we have two Jerrys in Preston. That's going to get confusing. Okay, and Jerry in, I can't say Jerry in Preston. Jerry, K1JMN, what's the best way for the other Jerry to get a hold of you if he wants to borrow that?
I suppose you can send me an email to K1JMN9 at Gmail, and that'll get to me, and we can exchange information that way. That's K1JMN9 at Gmail.
Okay, very good. Jerry, NT10, did you copy that?
NT10, yes I did. I've got all of the email addresses and names and call signs here so far, and I very much want to thank everyone for the offers. We'll be getting some emails from me. You have been warned. Thanks again. Back to that.
Okay, very good. Very good indeed. We have been warned. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next section. Announcements and items of interest. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? If so, please call now.
interested in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club will be holding their meeting on Zoom next Tuesday, the 9th at 7 p.m. The link for that will be posted on their website by Friday, and the website being tricityarc.net. Okay, let's move on to the third section. Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items? If so, please call now. Wishing everyone good evening and 73.